The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud. I did a series of in-person interviews at International Ms. Leather 2015, and you're listening to the first of a series. Let me tell you about my guests. Allison Moon is the author of Girl Sex 101, the erotic memoir Bad Dyke, and the Tales of the Pack series of novels about lesbian werewolves. Both books in the series, Lunatic Fringe and Hungry Ghost, were nominated for Goldie Awards for lesbian fiction. Allison was a 2011 Lambda Literary Emerging LGBT Authors Fellow. Allison is also a sex educator who has presented her workshops on strap-on sex, polyamory, sexual self-expression, erotica writing, and more to thousands of people around the U.S. and Canada. She lives in California with her partner. Katie Diamond is a radical queer comic artist and graphic designer. Katie created the queer feminist sex magazine Salacious and has had comic art published in Gender Outlaws, The Next Generation, and The Secrets of Great G-Spot Orgasms and Female Ejaculation. Diamond's illustrations are also featured in The Ultimate Guide to Kink. She believes strongly in the direct crossover of art and politics and uses this dogma in her everyday art practice. Incidentally, she was also named International Ms. Bootblack in 2011.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Allison and Katie.
Thanks. Hello.
Do you want to say, I'm Allison and I'm Katie, so people know your voices?
I'm Allison.
And I'm Katie.
Good.
I kind of wanted to do both just then.
We are at International Ms. Leather 2015 in San Jose. It was an epic evening.
Yeah, epic is a great word.
Yeah, it was epic. And it's 9 in the morning, and I have dragged these people out of bed, quite literally, to talk about girl sex.
I can't imagine a better reason to get out of bed. I actually don't even get out of bed at 8:15 to drive my partner to the airport. And it's 10 minutes away. And this was 45 minutes away. So this is how much I love you, Tristan.
Thank you, Allison. Okay, so tell me how this book came about, Girl Sex 101.
Well, I've been teaching Girl Sex 101 as a workshop, and it started at Burning Man, actually, in 2007 at the queer women's camp called Camp Beaverton for Wayward Girls. And it was really just a peer education session, and it just was 7 women in a dusty tent talking about sex and how we like to have sex. And it was a lot of sweet kind of Q&A and just women who had been, were a little bit farther down the path talking to women who were just starting. And it was a beautiful session and it became a workshop, and that workshop came back to Burning Man every year. And then I started taking it on the road. And then I decided that I really wanted to turn it into a book because there were so many people who wanted the information that couldn't come to a workshop in Portland or Chicago or New York. And I wanted to make sure that they got the information too, because I realized how valuable it was to have that kind of peer education tone in a sex education text. And it was really something I knew I wanted to do, but I also knew that I wanted it to be illustrated and fun to read. And so that was where Katie came in as an illustrator.
So Katie, how did you get involved in the process?
Allie, I think, either texted or emailed me saying she wanted to talk about a project. And we had, I think it was a Skype, I might have been in my bed, where she basically was like, here's what I want to do. And I went, yeah, great. I have those skills.
It's just that simple.
It was pretty much that simple.
Yeah. I mean, we were such good friends already, and yeah. I loved your work because I knew you could draw hot, naked people doing things to each other because of Salacious Magazine, yes. which was so good and is so good. So it became just an obvious partnership. I had a little bit of reticence working with a friend because collaborating with friends can be such a terrifying prospect. Like if something went horribly awry, suddenly our friendship would be ruined forever.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I just value Katie's communication skills, and we've got all like the sex positive like communication juju, so I figured we'd probably be able to work through anything, and it turned out to be a really, really great collaboration. Like, yeah. I was just so pleased with how well we communicated. We had a very clear shared vision from the beginning, so that even aesthetic differences were like, oh well, let's find an aesthetic that works for both of us. It became really easy because we brought our unique talents to the table, but at the same time, I think we learned a lot from each other too. It was lovely.
Yeah. When you said book, you just said like, oh, so I want to do this book. And it seems like not even the right word. I feel like if people don't know what we're talking about, yeah. Book seems like an understatement.
I like to say it's the sort of book that you could use to press flowers, perhaps to hold your door open.
Yeah. But it's not just the size, yeah. as we all know.
Right.
It is never just the size. This breaks new ground in so many different ways. And the first one is form. This isn't a traditional sex ed book. There's fiction. There's instruction. There are pieces written by people other than you. And there is this narrative that runs throughout it. And illustrations makes it sound like there's like five or six, like in my books. I mean, this is a fully integrated multimedia experience.
I love that you just called it that.
Can I put that on the back cover?
Sure, sure. But what I'm saying is, why this form? Why is it important that it's done in this way where essentially like the illustrations are speaking just as much as the text, and it's constructed in an entirely, not entirely new. I know there's other books sort of, but it's pretty fucking new.
I mean, I don't know how else to work. I know that like we had a lot of conversations about form, and then also like as Allie worked, I would co-currently sort of take sketches and draw and try to figure out basically how the illustrations can play on the page. But I need my education or my storytelling to have spot illustrations everywhere that help the story along, but also like emphasize importance and educate. Do you know what I mean? I don't know how else to work. And I think that from the get-go, like the book grew and changed throughout the time that we spent on it. But I would say that is the only thing that we knew for a fact we wanted was constant words and images, like constantly hugging each other and helping you engage with the work.
I mean, it feels like a graphic nonfiction book, as in a graphic novel has emerged as quite a force to be reckoned with. And we now accept that that is a genre. And there's been some incredible graphic novels, and it feels like a graphic, not novel.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It does.
Yeah, and I actually wanted that feel for a lot of reasons. Obviously you can't really have a sex ed book without showing the diagrams of how the tongue or the finger moves or the, anatomy, that you kind of need that. But I did really like the idea of having, spot illustrations that were like, a dolphin, we're talking about dolphins, so let's maybe throw in a dolphin there. That does just kind of underline or highlight a thing on the page that helps you tie into the content. And I think a lot of it was for the way I saw saw that people were learning. You know, with Tumblr, with the internet, we have this ability to kind of create these multimedia experiences for education. And I saw a lot of people paying a lot of attention to things when they are illustrated and when there are pictures that help and when there's a flow that's not just, you know, me talking for 300 pages. Because I think people stop listening at a certain point. And my voice is only one voice that matters. There are a lot of other voices that matter that need to be emphasized as well. So that for me meant having other voices, you know, whether they're professional sex educators or, you know, amateur sex havers that answered a survey. And then the fiction part was actually very important to me. And I haven't seen people do this before. I know it does exist, but I haven't found a really good example. But what I liked about it was how much I realized, especially because of the whole 50 Shades of Grey kerfuffle that happened around, like, people shouldn't be looking at this book to learn about BDSM. But people were so upset by that book because people were learning about BDSM that way. And I realized that just like people are using porn for education, people are using erotica for education.
Absolutely.
And so if I could help maybe, again, remediate the content one other way that maybe can just try and capture as many people as possible and capture as many learning styles as possible that make this book accessible in multiple different ways, whether it's with pictures or, you know, other voices and kind of conversational tone, or having characters do the thing that we're going to describe how to do so that you can see it in context. So it's not just here's how to have a safer sex conversation. It's like, oh, here are two people about to have a safer sex conversation.
Yes. Yeah. No, I liked there were several instances of that even in the nonfiction parts where you would kind of role play how to negotiate something. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciated that because I think people need these kind of examples.
Oh yeah.
When you say to someone, especially a, you know, 18-year-old, you know, baby dyke, mm-hmm. hey, communicate. Get on that. It's not that helpful, but you spell it out, mm-hmm. and you give people maybe ideas about how that to communicate.
Sure. And I mean, actually, the consent piece was really part of that, how important that was for me to kind of show examples of how to do it, because people are so freaked out by the consent conversation, because it's so usually associated with non-consent. We're always talking about sexual assault. We're not talking about, like, positive sexual experiences that use consent.
Right.
And so having the, like, role modeling, like, okay, like, let's just imagine we're trying to negotiate going to a restaurant. Like, that shouldn't be any less terrifying than negotiating sex. It should have the same skill sets around, like, let's just make sure we're all happy about where we're going to eat.
Right.
And so that was, I kind of wanted to role model, like, how natural that conversation can be and how we do it all the time anyway. So why shouldn't we apply that same skill set to the bedroom?
Yeah. Yeah. And this is basically the book that, I don't know, I needed, I wanted, I should have had all along. I mean, are you feeling that? Are you feeling in service to the next generation in a big way? Because God, the trajectory would be slightly different for me if I had this book. Just maybe around the vulva and the clitoris. Just that one thing. But I think otherwise I had it totally down.
No, that's actually the number one response I'm getting is that, you know, I have had multiple emails so far saying, I wish I had this book when I was blank, when I was 16, when I was coming out, when I first met my girlfriend or whatever. When I had a bunch of trans women who were like, oh my God, I wish I had this book when I was first figuring out I was trans, because it would have shortened the learning curve around trans lesbian identity. So that all of that stuff makes me so happy because that's exactly who I wrote it for. The 16-year-old me who was freaking the fuck out. Like, I wanted to write that book for her, mm-hmm. and for all of, you know, those people.
Yeah. And did you feel like this was, that spoke to you on that level too?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I also feel like the enthusiasm with even just like the concept when we were initially chatting about it is that this is exactly like the sort of book I should be working on. Do you know what I mean? Like ever since I've been drawing, I've been using illustration as a way to story tell with like a mission. Do you know what I mean? And not like hit people over the head with it. Like not like cartoon PSA style, but like this whole project fits perfectly in with how I feel about sex education and comics and stories, and the voice is so strong. And yeah.
Okay. We're going to take a little break. And then we're going to talk about the girl part of girl sex. Okay. So stay with us. More with Katie Diamond and Allison Moon talking about Girl Sex 101 when we return.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning Expert Guide Sex Education Series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
On the morning of August 5th, 1962, the world awoke to the shocking news that Marilyn Monroe, one of the biggest icons in Hollywood history, had been found dead. What really happened that night? Join Nina Bosky as she seeks to uncover both the life and tragic death of Marilyn Monroe and what keeps her so popular over 50 years later. Good Night Marilyn Radio, live every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at PuckerUp.com. That's Tristan at PuckerUp.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. I'm talking today with Katie Diamond and Allison Moon, the co-creators of Girl Sex 101, a really incredible book that kind of everyone needs to run out and get if you know or ever plan to be anywhere erotically near a girl. So, straight men, I'm looking at you. Okay. There is something noticeably different about this book, besides all the other things we've talked about so far, and that is your definition of girl. Let's talk about the radical fucking inclusivity in this book.
I don't think there's any other way it can be done. I don't think there's any other way it can be done. Yeah. I also really, I'd love to hear Allie talk about her process a little more, but like I really enjoyed watching her like constantly involve a lot of trans women's voices and make it really clear that like I don't know, I feel like one of the reasons I love Allison Moon, this is my Allie PSA, is that like when she doesn't understand something, she calls a lot of people and is really invested in like figuring out it from the situation from all angles. And so trying really hard not to be essentialist about anything. And that's really very attractive in a co-creator of a book about sex.
I mean, there are women in this book who have lots of different kinds of bodies, lots of gender expressions. There are intersex people. There are trans women. There are trans lesbians. There are gender queers. There are people with different abilities. There are clearly people of different races and ethnicities and body sizes represented. It feels like it runs, it starts at page one and it never ends. It never gives up on the mission, which feels important at this moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think that the conversation around sexuality and how we like to have sex is evolving so quickly. And I think I mentioned this at the very beginning of the book where I'm like, this is going to keep changing, and someday soon, maybe this book will seem woefully out of date with just the words that I use. I want people to get used to that more than anything. The fact that we're going to keep changing and that no one's wrong for saying a word that works then and that will change in 5 years. I mean, having a book is hard because there are these signifiers of a specific time.
Yes.
So there's a little bit of fear that like, okay, you know, the book's going to be woefully outdated. Will I have to update it with the new lexicon that we're using? But I want that to be the norm. I want people to be okay with that flux rather than kind of entrenching, like, now we are at the right spot. We have arrived at how we define our bodies, and this is where we'll stay forever. Because that's, I think, how things get really weird. But yeah, I mean, I guess just kind of going back to the inclusivity piece is that when I started the Kickstarter, I mean, I knew I wanted to kickstart the book. I got a lot of people giving feedback. I had a list of educators I knew I wanted in a book. And then I had a bunch of, you know, people that I wasn't quite sure were ready to be in the book, or, you know, we had been emailing back and forth. And a couple of trans women, like, came up to me and they're like, what's the trans inclusivity on this? And they were very clearly emailing me, like, what's happening? And I'm like, well, I hadn't quite figured out how to do it yet. And I'm like, so I don't know. Like, tell me what you think. And some people were very clear. They had very clear visions of how this should work. And they were not at all afraid to email me and tell me exactly what they think I should do. And then some people saying, just think about us. Just think about us. Because it was so clear that so much of the sex ed world is still trying to, quote unquote, figure out what to do with trans people, right? And it becomes this incredibly exclusive process as opposed to an inclusive process. And what Katie said is absolutely true. Like, I just decided that I'm like, okay, like, I obviously need to invite more people to the table and just ask them what they think I should do. And thankfully, because I'm self-published, I had the ability to do that and kind of take as long as I needed to get as many voices, you know, into the table as possible. And so some of the, you know, some of the people are, you know, very explicitly included, like Toby Hillmeyer and Julia Serrano. But there are a lot of other women who answered the survey, and I had a, what I called my trans girl brain trust, where I'm like, I'm going to send you super explicit questions that you should never ask people in polite company, but will you answer these questions? And they did. And so I was able to integrate a lot of the, just, again, like, integrate it into the chapter. So it wasn't like, here's a sidebar or here's a page. I wanted to have it be
kept recentering. Yes. Right.
Yeah. And I think that's really important. I mean, like, again, like, I'm a queer woman who has a cis male partner. So it's like, I know how to handle different kinds of genitals, you know, and I wanted to be like, and this is what I thought was really beautiful. But, like, this book also, because it includes trans women, but it also includes women who don't identify as lesbians. So if you have sex with people with different kinds of bodies who identify in different kinds of ways, this book is also including of you. I think that sometimes when we start moving towards the lesbian side of things, it starts winnowing away things rather than inviting in. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted women of all kinds to feel really comfortable in this book. And even if there are some couple pages that don't work for them, they can keep flipping them. They'll find something that will.
But at any moment, did you have the conversation that if we have reference to and illustrations of phalluses or penises even in this book, there are certain girls, women, lesbians, queers, second wave feminists, who might freak out?
I mean, I don't ever want... I think part of the power of, like, what Ali just said, and also, like, the mission of this book that's sort of, like, it's completely wrapped in, is that the way to be inclusive, which people don't realize, is actually to be specific. It's wild. People don't realize that. And if someone feels really upset that there are penises or phalluses or something that disagrees with them in this book, they're probably going to find something they love on the next page. So the whole thing can't be thrown out. But also, like, I don't know, I don't think everyone's able to be pleased on that front, at the very least. Like, we, I think, covered a lot of ground in this book, and folks being angry that a book that is about girl sex maybe includes people that they don't want to consider under that umbrella or involved in what may be girl sex, they can read other books.
Yeah, I think that there was actually a very clear point, which I had to say, like, okay, like, I know that by drawing what looks like a penis, we're going to piss some people off. I knew that was going to happen. And I felt like there was a conversation at one point where we were like, we just have to pick a side, really, and it really feels like that, and it felt like that. Yeah. We just have to be like, okay, like, who are we? Who are we serving in this book?
Yeah.
And there was a point at which I just, you know, I kind of had to just follow, like, who invites more people in the door? And the way we chose invited more people in the door. And there's some people who don't want to come to the party because of that. But I'd rather have the people in the party who want to be there than the people who see one penis and they freak out and then they leave. I don't think that serves the audience. I think that the breadth of girl sex is so broad that to whittle away an entire portion of it because of a penis or because of intersex issues or because of anything would be completely unfair to the multiplicities of identities that you know, really serve girl sex. I think that it's just much more broad than most people are giving credit for, and I wanted to honor that expansion rather than the, you know, the very limited perspective.
Yeah, I do remember we did early on talk about it when it was still sort of in taking form, that we knew the trajectory. We sort of had to get over the hump of realizing that we were going to have major detractors.
Mm-hmm.
But no good project doesn't, right? So.
Right, yeah, you just have to look in the direction that you want society to go and then write in that direction. And that's the direction that we made the book in.
Yeah.
What was the hardest part of this book for you to write or create or negotiate between the two of you? And you don't have to have the same hard part.
Mm. That's interesting. I think for me, a lot of it was just getting the book together and any sort of speed. We both have full-time jobs. It's 400 pages.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a certain amount, winnowing away. I had to make some choices. This is 101. Like, I couldn't talk about kink, which is a huge component of sexuality, but I had to make some choices. I talked very briefly about non-monogamy, which is unfortunate. So there are some things that I would have liked to have included, but ultimately, like, that would have been an 800-page book, and no one would have bought that. I think the hardest part was deciding what actually constitutes 101, and then what is, shall we say, for a sequel.
Yeah. Right. I mean, my love is laying things out in InDesign, and, like, designing things. Like, I love being the person that brainstorms an idea and then also sketches it out and brings it to fruition and then help, like, talks to the printer. Like, that's totally one of my passions. But it was hard because there were lots of, for very good reason, because I think the final product is great. But because we were sort of building the bicycle as we rode it, there were moments where I had a process and I had to sort of, like, denounce my own process, and I'm very process oriented. So there was a lot of me spending weekends being like, whoa, and throwing papers in the air and then obsessively typing on the computer and not, like, basically having a full-time job on top of having a full-time job and having moments where people are like, oh, we're going to go to the beach. And I'm like, no, I have to lay out like a 36-page chapter. I don't know what a beach is. I don't believe in that. So I think that was definitely.
Okay. That's the process. But what about the, was there any piece of content that challenged you?
Oh, golly. Any piece of content that challenged me?
Where you thought, this is a little bit outside my wheelhouse, or I don't know if I've done this justice, or, I have ambivalent feelings about this.
No, I'm arrogant like that. I felt like I nailed it.
You did? I don't know. I mean, this speaks more to my id. I'm convinced that everything I do is terrible as soon as I'm
pregnant.
So we're like in the opposite boat. So, like, I now that it's an actual, like, book, I'm like, oh, wow, I did something and it looks like it's good. But for the most part, like, I would finish a drawing and ink it and then move on to another chapter. And if I went back to that chapter, I'd be like, oh, I have to redraw everything. This whole chapter's terrible. I'd be like, no, I'm a crazy person. I have to stop. I don't know. I've been drawing for sex books for a while. So, thanks to you, really.
No.
I would say the biggest thing was making sure, sort of back to the inclusivity, like, I always draw lots of different types of bodies in my work. Like, that's something that has been reviewed of my work, which I really, that's honestly, if no one says anything else, I'd be fine. But wanting to make sure that, like, they were also helpful and that the illustrations were as fun as they were helpful as they were correct. That was definitely a challenge, and also making sure that they laid out properly and that they actually explained what was happening on the page. You know, that the thing that I loved about the book was also the thing about making the book, also the thing that was, like, the biggest challenge from minute to minute.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That's a good little nugget of wisdom.
People just mull that over.
Mull that over.
On the commercial break, okay? Because it has... It echoes and has more
layers.
Important. Yes, layers. Okay. So we're going to take another break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the illustrations in this book,
that I am most obsessed with. So get your thinking caps on, people, or download the motherfucking book during the break so you can see what I'm talking about. Okay, stay with us, more with Allison and Katie when we come back.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Get ready for some lively discussion on Barely Controlled Radio with Jeff Reed. From sports to relationships to current events and more, pretty much anything is on the table. Besides being a place kicker for the Super Bowl champion Pittsburgh Steelers, Jeff Reed is also a journalist, blogger, and opinionist. And he's ready to talk to you and tackle the issues that you've been wanting to talk about. Tune in to Barely Controlled Radio every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. I'm talking today here live and in person, which is really my favorite way to do the show. We are in San Jose at International Ms. Leather. It is Sunday. It is 9 a.m. There's coffee flowing, and then Katie keeps making more coffee, and we have to take a break so that you don't hear the hiss of the coffee machine. But we made it here. Okay, so I want to now just flip through the book, and I want to talk about the illustrations.
Great.
Now, you may be thinking, listeners, Tristan Taramino contributed to this book, the anal sex, you know, and probably likes the butt things, right? Right? So that's where we're going to go. But I want to tell you about my favorite illustration in this book.
I want to know. I want to know.
What's going to happen? It's page 137. It's these. Okay, so here's what we're looking at. We're in the chapter about, it's called Working the Clutch, Hand Sex. There's all these it's a road trip metaphor. So Working the Clutch, Hand Sex. And it's really the spread of 136 to 137. There are all these ways to kind of use your hands to stimulate the vulva. The inverted Vulcan. Safety scissors, duck face, pussy pinch, canyon run. And I don't know why, but these images will not leave my head.
That's because they're drawn from photo reference.
Oh! Okay, so whose hands and whose pussy? Because this is a what? Okay, here's what I'm obsessed. This is why I'm obsessed with these. Okay, let me just break it down. Okay, number one, the clarity and explicitness. I mean, this is a time when you say, hey, we're going to show you some techniques, and then you can actually see the technique in such glorious color. It's like not three-dimensional, and yet I completely understand it. And there's like subtlety and nuance of hand positions and fingers and all that stuff, and it's very clear. So, I mean, as someone, if you know me at all, you know I like to be clear and direct. And I feel these are just really clear, okay? And then they're just useful. I mean, they speak to all these different ways that we can sort of handle, I'm putting that in scare quotes, a vulva. And that there's something just really special about that, because it's like, oh my God, these vulvas all look different and these hands are doing different things, and that creates different sensations entirely. And that might be like, don't do that. Mm-hmm. And you might be like, oh, do that. Mm-hmm. But then there's just some inexplicable part of this that I don't even understand. Why are these my favorite illustrations, Katie?
Well, I think part of it is that they're based off of photos that I was sent, which is great, because then my job's easy. But you're hitting on why I consider myself like a cartoonist, and more of a cartoonist than anything else, is that a cartoon is supposed to simplify and clarify like what you're seeing, you know what I mean? And also be relatable. And so the lines are very clear. You know, I also have a style where I'm not someone who likes to put in a bunch of like shading or hatch lines or details that feel unnecessary to me. I like very like bold strokes. So I think that part of the reason you like these is that the major clarity comes from the fact that I was actually working from a photo. So there's no confusion about how a thing is fitting together. And I also think the simplicity is very attractive. It's understandable.
Okay, but it's also really sexy. I mean, there's something about the pussy pinch that whenever I look at it, it feels a little juicy. It makes me think of things. It speaks to me, and it's like, it's sexy.
Cool.
I like that. I mean, I do. Do you want me to get like artistically technical?
No. I mean, was your intention to be both representational, but also maybe a little
titillating?
Yeah,
absolutely. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And to be fair, my vulva is amazing.
I mean, I wasn't gonna say.
You're being very, very low key about it.
Being very just
chill.
But yes, Allie sent me like actual. My job is great in the sense that it's like this is not the first time someone's been like, draw this from this photo,
right?
And I get to just like tab through porn essentially and be like, okay, oh, I have to zoom in on this one area. Excuse me, I have to zoom in really close. I'm sitting at this giant computer screen, being like, oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is your vulva.
It is.
And is it your vulva? Is it your body throughout?
Definitely
the hand sex stuff.
Definitely the hand sex stuff. I mean, there was a lot of stuff you did draw from, I think, probably your partner. And, I mean, you definitely got images from a lot of places.
I got images from a lot of places. There's no way to not sound sleazy. Like, people want to help me.
Oh my God, there's a whole role play that I just thought of just now.
Oh God. You tell someone, you know, you're like at a sex party, you're like, oh, I'm an illustrator. And they're like, oh, what do you need?
I'm an artist.
So you just bring your sketchbook and they just drop their pants?
I mean, I've done that, but no, not for this book.
Okay.
That was my way. I mean, that was the way I was comfortable with going to like sex parties and going into more public, like public sex spaces. I brought a sketchbook. I like drew people. Some of the first like dates I ever had at sex parties were people being like, oh, draw me and my partner fucking. So like, I've got a long history of live reference.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Let's just flip through a little bit more. I mean, are there do you each have like a favorite,
favorite spread?
Chapter, spread?
Gosh, that's a really great question. I'm sure I do. I've just been staring at the book for so long. It's kind of meaningless to me now.
I also really like, there's this funny piece where you say, here's what great cuddling this looks like. And it's just like someone's face completely buried in someone's crotch and you can't see anything.
Exactly. Yeah.
But you make a point that just so you know, that is what it looks like.
Yep.
So we have to pull back the camera at some point, but you're going to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be in there. Yeah. You're going to get in it.
Yeah, there are a lot of illustrations that I like. I like the illustrations with the people, whether they're, you know, canoodling or, I mean, there's a lot of sweet images of people cuddling and touching mm-hmm. each other. I mean, the picture of the two women spooning, that's like a lot of people's favorites. It's a cis woman, well,
it's early on, yes.
Yeah,
it's early on illustrations.
And it's a trans woman being spooned by her partner, girlfriend, and it's really lovely because it's just so romantic and so sweet. It just makes me totally feel like, love, mm-hmm. which I really enjoy. And I like that there are images like that, too, where it's just just like
you you're know, both so dirty, and you like the romantic picture.
I do like the romantic picture.
So sweet. How many illustrations are there in here total?
I haven't done a count, but I probably should. I haven't done a count.
It seems like hundreds.
I think it might be
thousand. A thousand?
There might be.
Well, there's
might
more
be.
Than one per page, and there's
and 400 pages.
Yeah. I need to do a count. Also, Easter egg, I actually snuck diamonds throughout this entire book.
What?
That. I snuck...
Wait! Hold the phone! It's breaking fucking news. I don't know why I'm cursing so much, by the way. Today, this show...
Punchy.
You can tell I have had very little sleep, and there's like a lot of stimulation here, and not just the book. There are people.
I okay. should do a count so we can like... So you...
Yes! I mean, this has to be... There has to be some sort of fun. There has got to be a geek out there who wants to win something.
Oh, yeah. Make it happen.
Yeah. So you snuck Easter eggs in here.
Yeah, and I snuck myself in there a number of times. Like, I'm randomly, like, doing things like mostly drinking coffee. It speaks to where I was at in the drawing process, I think. Me looking bananas and drinking coffee.
And there was, like, there's a shot of one like that.
The one that's like, you. Holding the coffee door and being like, yes!
Yes! Pump this lube! What's going on? Oh, my gosh. So tell me, if you had 25 more pages... What's the first thing you throw in there?
Probably an intro to BDSM. Just to get people understanding why people are attracted to it, how to even begin. I think that it's such a normal part of sexuality now. And I think that people are still going to consider it other, even though almost everyone I've ever met engages in some form of BDSM.
Yes.
And so I think that that would be nice to kind of normalize it in that way. So it's not just like, here's a book about leather and kink, and then here's a normal book about sex. Like, I would like to include it more in that kind of way that's more, you know, integrated.
Yeah.
So that is what I would do.
Katie, you've got 25 more pages. What do you want to do?
I don't... It's so big.
You don't want the pages. You would like to give them back.
Excuse me, can I give back my pages? I don't know. I think that I would... I would say one of the things that I'm unhappy with the book that I would love to add more to is I feel like it would be fun to have more comics that maybe were a little more robust. I feel like because of the way the book was starting to lay out and the way that I was trying to make the spreads interplay, I feel like the comics are lacking in how I did them. And I would use probably 25 more pages to maybe have more, have the role plays maybe just be like a story that you get invested in as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, so there's the fiction, and then perhaps we'd have like comics that were a little more like, oh, these are characters.
Oh, that run the comic continues.
Right.
Like, maybe, like a serial.
Yeah, like maybe like Goofus and Gallant style, like do or right. don't do or don't.
Right.
And you're like, oh good, like what is Cheryl gonna do this time? I don't know. Yeah. Like yeah.
That's one of my favorite parts of how this book is going to totally date me is that actually the hardest part for me was really moderating my references, because I'm 33, not that old, but like at the same time I mentioned like the Ninja Turtles, Empire of the Sun, which I know nobody under the age of 35 has actually seen.
Yeah, I'm 30 and I haven't seen that.
Okay, so there we go. So like the Goofus and Gallant thing, I'm like, that's another thing that I'm like, the little baby dykes have no idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah, nobody knows what Highlights Magazine is anymore.
So sad. So just so you guys know, because I'm a decade older than you, this only gets worse. Oh my god. I mean, there's someone here at International Ms. Leather who doesn't live in this country anymore and showed up very unexpected to me, Sarah Lashes. Mm-hmm. And when I saw Sarah Lashes, I was like, oh my god, Sarah Lashes is here. She's not only a good friend, she was for years the premier maker of floggers in the entire leather community. Oh. You wanted a Sarah Lash's lash.
Yeah.
And when people who are in their 20s were around me and I was like, oh my God, Sarah Lashes is here. People were like, who? I was like, no! So yeah, this only gets worse. Okay. Let's think about that and our mortality while we're on a break. It's only getting more punchy and crazy, people. I don't even know what's going to happen in the next segment.
I just tried to give back fictional pages.
So listen, if you want to
stay. I think it's probably wise. And then we'd be held accountable for what the hell's happening here. Okay, stay with us. More when we get back.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
How do you achieve the utmost success in your life, career, faith, relationships, and more? It's all here in The Business of Living with host Scott Ventrella. Scott has experience as an executive coach, sought-after speaker, and lecturer. He and his guests will offer practical solutions and strategies to help you move to the next level of success, no matter where you are in your life and career. The Business of Living airs live every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. I'm here talking in person with Katie Diamond and Allison Moon, the co-creators of Girl Sex 101, a new book which is, it's breaking new ground. It's incredible for the amount of information that's in it, as well as the form and as well as the politics of it, really. It's inclusive and it's now. I mean, it's what's happening now, people. And if you don't want to get on the train, that's fine. But you need to get a copy for everyone, including your parents and your grandparents. For
your reals. Grandma will thank you.
Yeah, for sure.
And she might be mad at your grandpa. But that's okay.
Oh, yeah. So. Well, I thought grandma had another grandma.
Okay.
Hey. Okay. So I heard that there is some kind of crazy party happening for this.
Oh, there is a crazy party happening for this. May 9th, Oakland, California. Come.
What's going on? It's my birthday, by the way.
Oh, hey.
Is that crazy that you're having a party on my birthday? So I'm having a party too, but my own party.
We can combine them. That'd be amazing. So it's happening at this place called American Steel, which is this amazing warehouse maker space up in Oakland. And it's going to be crazy. We're going to have live demos. We're going to have DJ. We're going to have art cars and food trucks and burlesque and all sorts of fun things. So I'm excited.
And are you going to start sort of flying around the country and promoting this? Are there events? Are there classes? What?
I want there to be. Right now I have to figure out how to work that out with my day job, but I love going on tour with my books. I've gone on tour with all of my books other than this one. And I think this is the one that deserves it so much more than any of the other ones. It really deserves a road trip. We've been talking about doing the actual road trip in the book from Vancouver to San Diego.
Not the metaphorical, the real.
The real.
You in the car.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be fun. Maybe not as much of different kinds of sex. Anyway, it would be weird. I think that there should be a book tour and we just have to figure that out. I always welcome people to email me and tell me if they want me to come to their town, their college. It's the kind of thing that can only really happen when people say that they want me to come. So I encourage people to email me and let me know that they would like me to come to their school/town. It'd be great.
And what have people in general been saying about the book? Because I think a lot of people have been talking about it. It's for a self-published book. It's gotten quite a bit of media coverage. Mm-hmm. What have been some of the more sort of gratifying things people have said to you, whether in the media or privately?
Well, something like, I mean, the reviews have been staggering. Diva magazine, which is the largest lesbian magazine in the UK, called it the best sex ed book in years, right? And I consider this to be just, I mean, the media praise is wonderful, but the praise that actually really matters to me is the emails that I'm getting from random people who are stumbling upon the book on Tumblr or on Facebook or whatnot and saying, holy shit, this is what I needed. And that to me matters so much more than a review. So that's been incredible having these, I mean, again, like I've had a couple trans women who are like, oh my God. Like,
yeah, Toby wrote a lovely review on Tumblr and it is like, I don't understand how Tumblr does this, but like every time I look at it, there's like more people have looked at it, like thousands. And I'm like, oh wow.
Well, yeah, it exponentially grows.
Yeah. And it was one of, I think, the most specifically around the fact that like we are talking about all girls. Mm-hmm. One of the best reviews, chatting about that, making it really clear, like, this book does that. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's one of my favorite.
Yeah, totally. And that's the thing. I think that it just reminds me, because again, like in the book creating process, I mean, this has been a stressful process for the both of us. It's been 2 years now, I guess. Just about,
yeah.
And, you know, it's so gratifying to know that, like, oh, yeah, the point of this book is to reach people. Like, out of all of the work we've been doing that feels kind of cloistered, right, other than us and the people who are working on the book with us, like, it's been a really hard and grueling process, but now it gets to live. And now we get to see people reading it and enjoying it. I'm getting people taking selfies and, you know, posting them like hashtag girls like selfie. And it's so beautiful to see that because I'm like, oh, right, the book gets to live in the world. People get to find it and stumble upon it. People get to flip through it, find it in libraries and, you know, engage with the material. That to me is why I do this. And it reminds me after all of the stress, this is the point of creating these kinds of work.
And you're primarily known for fiction, so will there be more nonfiction or sex ed on the horizon for Allison?
Yes, absolutely. Like, this was such an enjoyable process for me. I just have a natural tone that really works for people, it seems like, the kind of very casual, big sisterly tone.
You know, it's very conversational. It's I feel like I'm in the tent in the way that it's not formal. It's not formal. And there's snark and there's asides and there's funny and there's a lightness to it that feels very accessible.
Great. That's good. That's what I want. So yeah, that's what I'd like to continue doing in my future work for sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what's next for you, Katie Diamond?
Well, I want to actually focus more on some comic ideas that I've had for a really long time. I feel like, I suffer from like, wanting to be involved in everyone's things, that I put my own ideas and illustrations or like projects of my own on the back burner. I have a few ongoing comic ideas that I'm going to start to dust off and try to have up in the next few months.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I'm going to plug all your social media and everything so people will know how the hell to find you on the internet. Mm-hmm. If you wrote a kind of a love letter to all future people who want to have sex with girls, who are also girls. But if there are young dykes out there who are just starting out, who are curious, who may be just coming out, who may be having some of their first sexual experiences, what is one piece of advice that you would give those girls?
Actually, I think that's the epigraph to the book, which is a Bruce Lee quote, which is kind of strange. But it's adapt what is useful, reject what is useless, and add what is specifically your own. That's sex.
Nice. Katie, what would you say to all the girls out there, especially the beginners?
Stop taking everything so seriously. Get out of your own way and your own head. And have fun. Sex is funny.
Yeah, you think we all just need to kind of relax a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be condescending about it. More like, I think we all just need to realize that if we stop overthinking it, then it's all going to be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, Katie. Okay, well, I want to thank you guys both so much for getting up at an ungodly hour.
Only for you, Tristan.
Oh, and we actually made it through it. And now we have the entire day. Because it's so early.
It's like, my hand's always wow. Strong, but I never believed them either.
Look at what we've accomplished. And it's only 10 a.m. I'm feeling pretty good about that.
Yeah.
So thanks for talking to me. And now I'm going to plug all your stuff.
Thanks.
Sweet. Thanks.
Katie Diamond and Allison Moon together created Girl Sex 101. Find out more at girlsex101.com. Follow them on Facebook and Twitter at girlsex101. All of these links and more can be found at sexoutloudradio.com. Click on the link for episode resources. You can always find me at puckerup.com and on Twitter at Tristan Taramino. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible: executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. If you missed any part of this show or want to hear it again, you can listen on demand or download the MP3 by going to voiceamerica.com and searching for Sex Out Loud. You can also subscribe to it as a podcast on iTunes. Oh, and we would love it, love it, love it if you could go on iTunes and review us. I'd really appreciate that. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of the show. Until then, hit us up on facebook.com/AskTristan, on Twitter at SexOutLoudRadio, and remember, talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.